Hey everyone, welcome to our live Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. This week we've got Chase Livingston back, so let's check in with him first. Chase, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Glad to be here. Lots of travel recently, but glad to be back.
And then, just like always, we've got Carolyn from Buffer. Carolyn, how are you?
I am great, thank you. Excited also to be back.
Yeah, I mean, y'all just kind of left us for a while. It was something.
Nice to be back in San Francisco and settled.
And it's just, you know, it's going to make for a better show. Now, with them two back, you know, we don't have Jeff Vincent this week. He's wrapping up some stuff before vacation, so he's going to be out for a little bit, which props to him. He deserves a vacation. If anybody does, he does.
He does.
So it's just our lovely faces for this one. One bit of follow-up before we get into the show for this week. Tony Green emailed me last week. We were talking about, you know, how to prioritize tickets and how Buffer lets customers do that. He wrote in with a good example and said that they actually cut their response times down from weeks down to days just by going through and giving priorities to tickets, giving weights to tickets. They developed this waiting system where these different rules were applied to different ticket types. And basically you funnel all those tickets, you know, we're talking thousands and thousands of tickets at this scale, but they funneled them all into very specific boxes that let their junior programming guys work on them in the right way. He said it was really helpful for them, bumped it down literally, you know, the average age was days beforehand. And then after they started doing this, it got it down to just hours in most of the cases. You know, with us, we tend to be, you know, at the smaller end of things. I guess you could say smaller end of things with automatic, even though they're huge. But when you start, you know, working with just massive amounts of tickets, thousands and thousands of tickets every week, I think that prioritizing really helps out for that. Thanks to Tony for writing in to let us know about how that worked for you. This week, we're talking about a subject that Jeff brought up last week and then didn't even make it to his own show. I mean, God, what kind of guy? But we're talking about the differences between free and paying customers. I was looking back through our archives, and we've touched on it a little bit before, like with our feature request episodes. I'm going to make sure to put that one in the show notes so you can go back and listen to that. But we want to go all in on this and kind of talk about how we look at free versus paying customers. For me personally, I'm going to have to step out just a little bit because Basecamp doesn't have a free plan anymore. We eliminated that when we went to the latest version of Basecamp, but we can kind of touch on that later on about why we did that and all. You know, when I think free, you know, free versus paying customers, we've got two great companies here, Buffer and Automatic, that both have free and paying customers. So it's kind of perfect that both of y'all are here for this show. So let's start with Buffer on this one, you know, with Carolyn. When you look at free versus paying customers, do you see them in the same light? Do you see, you know, is your reaction to free customers the same as it would be if they had been giving you money that month?
Yeah, it is. Although I alluded to that, or I said it last week that like sometimes, so we have a free version. We have the awesome plan, which is $10 a month. And then we have the business plans, which are significantly more than that. So if I just happen to see somebody's name who I recognize has a business account, I might be more likely to like jump to that one. But that's pretty rare on like the overall scale. They receive the same exact priority.
Is there any, you know, you mentioned just kind of going off if you recognize the name or not. You know, as you scale this up, is there any thought about maybe like labeling those cases in some way? That way it would catch your eye faster and be more less error prone than just like, you know, if, oh yeah, I recognize that name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's a plan to make that easier because I don't think we want to make it easier. Like, I don't think we actually want to systemize that because what we would rather do is just improve our support for everybody. So yeah, as at this point, business customers, awesome and free all have the same support. So yeah, I think what I would rather do is sort of try and figure out ways that we could improve it and make it faster for anyone as opposed to just for them.
Chase, with Automattic, you know, you've got the free WordPress plan, which is what I started with, which I guess is what most people start with. I mean, it just kind of dips your toes in and gets you started with all of it. When I sign up for a free plan, does the Automattic team treat me any differently than if I, you know, was shelling out money each month for some of the more premium features?
You're probably not going to notice a big difference, at least at first. But as far as, you know, free support goes, we really funnel most of those users both through our like help documentation, but also through the public forums. They don't have like an email contact form, though, if they, you know, guess the email address or something, which is pretty easy to do. You know, you could just email a ticket in directly. But as far as the contact form and things like that go, we funnel those to the public forums, which we have a team of dedicated happiness engineers who basically man those. So you're still going to get, probably more than likely, get a response from, you know, a happiness engineer at Automattic. It'll just be, you know, obviously a public reply rather than, you know, a private one-on-one email or something like that.
Yeah, I like that. You know, kind of saying, you know, we're going to provide support for free customers, but we're going to do it in a, you know, this public forum where, you know, if somebody has the same question as you, comes back later, then they can do a search and find the answer for that one pretty easily. Do you get any pushback from customers when you do that want a more private channel rather than that public forum?
Yeah, occasionally. And I mean, you know, we're definitely not opposed to chatting with a customer privately. If it's something that they don't want to discuss publicly, obviously we'll just kind of transfer them over to either a private forum thread that's just, you know, where we can see it and then they can see it, or even just, you know, shooting them an email and talking to them that way. So it's not something that never happens, but, you know, probably 8 or 9 times out of 10, the public forum is, you know, just fine for the free users.
Yeah, and you know, we talked a little bit earlier about how with Basecamp we've dropped that free plan, but when we did have the free plan with Basecamp Classic, we were kind of the same way. We didn't really differentiate between freed versus paying. There was, you know, somebody submits a ticket and then that's what it was. You know, we treated them all equally with that. I think one of the big places where distinctions can be made with free versus paying is more in the realm of features and tools. You know, Buffer does a good example of this with the Awesome plan having more features, the Business plan having more features than a regular free account. Carolyn, when it comes to your Buffer free customers, do they ever push back and say, hey, you know, we want some of those features, but you know, we just don't want to pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a funny line because we want to make their experience really great as well, and we want to continue to improve the product for them as well. We do want to make enough of a distinction that there's a benefit to upgrading, so it's a little bit funny. And I would say that people, it's less about features because they tend to sort of be split on that. I'd say one half of the camp is like, oh, well, you know, it's a free product. And then the other half is like, oh, but I want that thing, but I don't want to have to, I don't want all the other features. I just want that one feature. So there's a lot of like negotiating that happens. Like, what if I just pay you like $1 a month for that feature and like that kind of thing, which for the record, we don't do. But I can't imagine the billing system for that. But it's interesting because that sort of goes hand in hand also with the support. Like, about half say like, I'm a paying customer. Like they often start with that. I'm a paying customer or you know, you took my money and like, so I think that it does create sort of a difference of expectations if you're paying for the product. But then there's, you know, the other half of the camp that the free people, the people who aren't paying are like, but I'm paying you with my attention and my eyes and I could, you know, use a different product. And, you know, I'm the pipeline of people who might upgrade someday. So you have to keep me happy anyway. So yeah, I think, it depends a lot on people's experience with SaaS setups and like, there's just not really one customer fits all for this one.
You brought up two interesting kind of customers here that I want to touch on real quick. So how do you handle each of these? You know, when it comes to customers who take the mindset, I'm paying you, you should be making a product that, you know, is more tailored to my needs because I'm giving you money. How do you handle those kind of customers when they write in?
Oh, I think I misconstrued it. That was more about I'm paying you so this bug shouldn't happen, which is like, that's pretty legitimate.
Yeah, bugs, that would definitely be legitimate. Yeah, I'm one of those, like, you're totally right.
We don't get a lot of that one you just described of like, I paid you $10, therefore you should like build this for me. Like that's, we get it like occasionally on the business side, but they also tend to be like very used to that conversation. So they're also often like, well, we'll pay for it if we want you to build an additional feature. I wouldn't say it has, I don't think that the passion that people have for new products and new features doesn't usually come from money. It usually comes because they believe that that's really going to make your whole customer base happy. And sometimes they're right. So that's usually where that passion comes from, I think, not necessarily the paying thing.
Yeah. And on the flip side, speaking of passion, you know, you've got customers who are, I think you put it pretty well, lifelines to other potential customers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a customer writes in and says, oh, I'm huge on social media and I want to pimp out Buffer and I'm going to do this in return for you giving me a free, awesome account. How do you tackle that?
We just don't do it. It was a lot easier to say across the board that we don't do it than to try and spend so much energy making a judgment call each time. you know, it's a slippery slope of, you know, oh, well, I'm going to give you a review or, you know, all this stuff. Like, it's just, you know, because we have a free plan, you know, people say, I want to trial the awesome plan and we don't have an awesome plan trial. So like the free plan is kind of the awesome plan trial. So, just to keep things simple and to keep our happiness heroes sane, we just don't do that.
Yeah. That's kind of like, you know, you were talking about how I'll give you $1 a month for this feature. That just, some things just don't make sense if you want to stay sane.
Yeah. Like if we could do it, that would be amazing. But like, I'm just trying to imagine like the Stripe setup for that. It's just tough to make new things for people.
Now, you know, Chase, with WordPress and Automattic, you have done the add-ons pretty well. You know, you can buy a package that removes ads from your site. You can buy a package that gives you a custom URL, custom domain redirect, and that kind of thing. How do customers tend to like that? Do they like being able to go in and just pick and choose what they really need to make their own kind of custom package?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, that seems to be pretty popular. We're, you know, doing a little bit of experimentation with that here lately, trying to see what works best for customers. But I mean, yeah, for the most part, you know, they like being able to choose what they need. Some users don't necessarily want, you know, all the features that come along with, say, the WordPress.com premium plan that we offer that has basically all the basic upgrades and, you know, a free domain name along with it. You know, some users don't necessarily need or want all of that and don't want to spend the, you know, the $99 a year to get that. So, you know, it just depends, but each user is different, but you know, a lot of users do like the plans, a lot like to pick and choose. So it kind of just depends.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about like kind of buffet style approaches like that, you know, for me, the big thing still comes back to people writing in and saying, hey, you know, I want this specific feature. You're offering all these other features that I can buy individually, but not this specific one. How do you handle WordPress customers that come to you and say, hey, I want this specific thing that you don't offer?
I mean, if it's something that, you know, we might be able to come up with a workaround for them or something like that, obviously we'll try to help them out. Or if, you know, it's something that we're working on, you know, like a new feature or something like that, obviously we'll try to let them know that, you know, it's coming and, you know, if we can let them know maybe when it's going to come. Usually, you know, we're not able to do that just because we don't really know necessarily, but other than that, I mean, you know, if it's something that we don't offer, we just kind of have to let them know that it's not something that we offer, basically, and there's not a ton of things we can do about it. I mean, you know, we can obviously pass along their request and see if there's anything we can do, but for the most part, that's just kind of how it is.
That's just the way the world is sometimes. So one of the, you know, when we were talking about the show earlier, I was talking about it with Ben McCormick from over at Trello, which, side note, Trello is hiring a support specialist there in New York City. So if you're in New York looking for a good job, jobs.supportops.co has the listing for the Trello job. So
good definitely for them. Poor Brian.
Yeah, and one of the things that we were joking around about, one of the perks that they didn't list with a job was that you get free beer lessons, how to craft your own beer, which I was like, wow, that should definitely be in the post, but they didn't put it in there. So now, you know, for all you listeners of the show, you know, that's one of those perks now.
The inside scoop.
The inside scoop. But he was talking about how with Trello, you know, they kind of do something similar to Buffer. I'm not sure if Automattic does this either. But he was talking about how you have like kind of your regular Trello users, which are free users, and then you can do, Trello business class, you know, businesses that actually pay you for using Trello. And he says right now we're treating the business class customers and free customers the same, which is to say we're going to get back to them within 24 hours of them sending us a ticket. But down the road, they're going to explore ways to increase the level of service that they provide to those business class customers. Something as simple as, you know, lowering the response time for paid customers. So maybe you answer those paid customer tickets before you move into the free ones. And I think, you know, when you're looking at like 24 hours for a response time, that's probably a smart thing to do, right, Carolyn? When it comes to your business plans with Buffer, not the awesome plan, but the business plans, you know, are they getting any kind of faster replies, and should they be if you're looking at 24-hour response times?
Oh, that's a tough one to answer. Yes, no.
You can just shrug if you want and go, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends a little bit on the type of service that you're offering. If it's like, I mean, I guess everything's an emergency and everything's timely. Yeah, I don't. I mean, if you can improve it for everybody, that's better, I guess. But if you can't improve it for everybody, but you could improve it for the business and then maybe take those learnings and expand them, then sure.
That be a good approach? So if I'm looking at a 24 or 48 hour response time with my team and I'm sitting there as a support manager going, how can I start whittling away at this? You know, hiring is one thing that, you know, Trello's hiring a couple of people. So hiring would definitely help you get that response time down. But is this something that I could pull out from my toolbox here, you know, target those paid users, get them faster response times. And as we increase those, it's going to, you know, as we decrease those response times, it's going to bring it down for everybody. Is that kind of a good approach there?
I'm not sure I'm convinced that targeting the business customers will bring it down for everybody. If anything, that would move it up for the others, right? Unless you find a way to actually make it faster, not just do them first. Because then I would think on average, you would just make the free longer. But yeah, I mean, it's good to experiment. My general feeling is like, yes, try it and see what happens. If it feels icky, then stop.
I love it. That's Carolyn's law right there. If it feels icky, just stop. It works for so many things.
Yeah, declare it a failed experiment and try something different.
And that's one of those, I talked to a couple of people and that was kind of their inclination to getting lower response time was to focus on the paid ones first. And I at the end of the day, I kind of felt like you. It was like, you're not really, yeah, those paid customers are going to, they're going to see instant results. They're going to see, you know, response times drop pretty much automatically as soon as you start doing that. But you're really just time shifting here, right? You're shifting the response time from them over to your free customers with the, well, their free customer justification, which, again, that could be a smart move. I mean, Google does that, right? I mean, Google shifts all their free customers over into forums where it could take a while to get answers for that. They're not quite as fast as Automattic when it comes to those forums. So it's definitely, you know, a valid route to go there. So if Chase Livingston, if you're, you know, if you're looking at the automatic customers and you're saying, hey, we want to do something a little bit extra for those that are paying us, you know, maybe, you know, start with the same service for everybody and then just sprinkle in a little extra for those business customers. What do you think that would look like for somebody that was considering that?
So one of the things actually we do for our, so we have the WordPress.com premium, and then kind of a step above that, we actually do have WordPress.com business, which is kind of geared towards businesses. And we offer, basically, guaranteed live chat support, for those users. So they're guaranteed to be able to get in touch with our, live chat folks between 7 a.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern every day. And you know, to be able to talk with somebody there and get their questions answered and things like that. So that's kind of probably the big value add as far as support goes for those users. And then obviously if it's outside those hours, they're going to, you know, be able to send an email and get a response definitely within 24 hours, probably more like within 12 hours. So that's kind of the big value add as far as our business users go. We do a little bit of, you know, live chat for, other paying users as well, but you know, we don't have those guaranteed hours necessarily, and you know, we don't guarantee that there's always going to be an operator available during those hours. So that's, you know, that's kind of the difference as far as how we look at it.
Yeah, and just to kind of round out the whole show out, you know, we've talked about how to treat those free versus paying customers the same, different, that kind of thing. And Ben from over at Trello brought up a good point. He said with Trello, free was ingrained from the very beginning. You know, Trello was a free product to start. Buffer, I think, was kind of similar, right? Like it was a free product to start.
It has always had a free product, but it has also always had a paid version.
Cool. So, you know, when we're looking at SaaS apps, and Carolyn, we'll give you the first dig at this one. When we're looking at SaaS apps, is a free plan required? You know, if I'm starting a new product, do I need to have a free plan and worry about all this differentiation between free and paying?
Oh, that might be above my pay grade.
Come on, if you were starting a product, you know, and would not having a free plan feel icky to you?
No.
No?
No. Gosh, I mean, if it's too expensive to offer a free version, that's a lot of cases, right? Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to be able to go out and raise just massive, you know, millions of dollars worth of VC funding and that kind of thing. And somebody's got to pay for servers, right? I mean, the more free users you have, the more servers you're going to need when it comes to that.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh, like free and trials and there's probably a lot of books on that. I don't think I'm educated on it enough to comment. Sorry.
Hey, Chase, what do you think? If you were starting your own product and that kind of thing, well, a good example here, you know, you were talking about WordPress plugins and that kind of thing. You can have a whole product built around a plugin nowadays. If you were making something that you were going to charge for, do you think it's smart to offer an entirely free plan?
I think in some cases it is smart, but kind of like Carolyn said, you know, it definitely depends on the product and what the costs are associated with running that product. You know, with WordPress plugins, obviously, at least, you know, in my mind, it's not super difficult to offer a free kind of pared down version of your paid plugin for users to try out. You know, and then if they want to upgrade to, you know, the full thing with all the features, or, you know, if you want to have it time out after a certain amount of time or something like that, you know, that makes sense. But, you know, then you look at products, you know, like Basecamp, where there's, you know, quite a lot involved with running Basecamp and with giving those users the experience that you want. So, you know, it may not make as much sense for a product like that as it would for, you know, like a free versus or a trial, you know, plugin, something like that.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, I think when it's your product, do what you want. You know, if you want to offer a free plan, do it. If you don't feel bad. It doesn't feel icky not to, you know, at least for me. That's going to be my new rule of thumb. Like, does it feel icky? No? Okay, it's good. One last question we're gonna slide in real quick from Scott. And Scott asked, when it comes to the free versus paid, do you treat feature requests the same or access to betas or anything like that? Chase, we'll start with you on this one. When it comes to, you know, a free customer here requesting a feature or anything, does that just kind of go in the same pile as the paid customers?
Yeah, pretty much. We don't necessarily differentiate those at all. So yeah, I would say that it does basically go in the same pile, if you will.
Yeah, Carolyn, same one over to you. So, you know, if a free customer writes in with a feature request, same pile?
Yeah, same pile. The one nuance is that, like, we're still sort of learning what business customers need. So if a business customer writes in, it doesn't necessarily mean that we will build it any faster than the one that, I mean, the free customer asked about. But it might be an opportunity for us to say, why do you need that? And like, let's talk about it and to like get a greater understanding of what that type of business needs. I mean, we might just dig in more if it's like the first time we're hearing it. And it's from a type of business that we're not really sure completely we have our heads wrapped around their needs yet. Same in general, same pile.
Yeah, that's a good distinction there. You know, when it comes to free users, free users tend to bounce around a lot. You know, they'll be on this app for a while and they move to this app for a while and they move on to the next hot app for a while. you know, with your paying customers, your business customers, they're probably in it for a while. You know, they're coming in and looking at Buffer, WordPress, Basecamp and going, you know, I'm going to run my business on this. And so it's going to be a long-term investment here. So picking those kind of brains, those kind of customers' brains, and really digging into the root of whatever their feature request is, I think you're going to get a lot more from that rather over talking to a free customer, if that makes sense. That's all the questions that I had on this one. Anything else either of you want to throw in before we wrap it up?
I had one thought on the... Should you have, I declined to answer, but I did have one thought on should you have a free version. The one thing that I think is tricky is if you are not going to have it for, like, either do it and commit to having it forever as long as the product is alive, or be really clear about that. Because I think, like, especially with categorizing things as icky, like saying, like, oh, come in, it's fine, like, we'll just take care of you, and then, like, actually, we're going to start charging you, is not a great experience. So, I would just, if you are thinking of that question, which I think, I mean, I would love to watch 10 podcasts on that question alone. I think, yeah, just spending enough time making that decision in advance.
Yeah, definitely don't, you know, pull the rug out from your customers on something like that. I was reading an article today, something like that, about an app that kind of used a bait and switch model like that. You know, they offered this great service, and then you got to use it for a couple of things, and then they all of a sudden stepped in and said, oh, wait, if you want to keep using it, now you got to pay us. And they just weren't really clear about that to start with. Just kind of keep that in mind. If you're going to do it, then make sure it's there for as long as you can possibly sustain it. And, you know, if you don't think you're going to be able to do that down the road, then it's best not to start doing that and have headaches associated with it. With that one, I think Carolyn froze up. She must have just been like, nope, that's it. So we'll move into probably my favorite part of the hangout each week. Jeff's not here, so I got to find out which one of these little icons does what he does. This one? Yeah, it's this week's shout outs. These are the things that are making us so happy. We want to shout them out from the rooftops and the mountaintops and let you know, hey, you should be using these. Hopefully Carolyn's going to come back so she can share hers. But we'll start with Chase on this one. Chase, what's your shout out for this week?
Yeah, so I have a shiny new iPhone 6 that I'm really liking, but that's not going to be the shout out per se. There's been an update to the Twitterific app for iOS. And I've been a Tweetbot user for a long time, but this new Twitterific update is really cool. I've been using it quite often. It's, you know, updated and everything for the iPhone 6 and iOS 8, and it's just a really nice app. It's kind of pulled me away from Tweetbot. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely take a look.
Yeah. So how are you liking the 6? You didn't go with the 6+. I don't know if you saw it last week, but Jeff was not a fan of the 6+.
No, I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I'm glad to hear that. No, I played with the 6+ as well, and it was just way too big for me. So the 6 is a good size. I like definitely the larger screen. I mean, you can tell a difference between it and the 5 series. But the 6 is really nice. I'm enjoying it so far.
Awesome. For my shout out this week, an oldie but goodie. I don't think I've talked about this one before on this show. Carolyn's back. Okay. Carolyn, go ahead with your shout out. Chase was talking about Twitterific and how great an app it is.
Okay. And sorry, I'm on my phone now. We're having some Wi-Fi issues. My shout out this week is a book that I just recently finished. Called My Stroke of Insight. And you may have heard, I can't remember her name. You may have heard this scientist speak, and she has a very famous, very popular TED Talk. But the whole book is really interesting. And if you've ever known someone who's had a stroke might ever know someone who has had a stroke, it's a really interesting process of healing and the way that she describes it. Is really interesting. And then also sort of the application to everyday life, which includes, you know, not just survivors, but, people who, you know, you can sort of choose which emotions to give energy to. And like, you can choose a lot more about your brain than you necessarily realize. It's a really interesting book. Definitely recommend it.
Awesome. And, you know, I'm going to give a side shout out here to just Google Hangouts in general, because Carolyn came back on her phone and the video picked up, the audio picked up. That's just awesome. That's technology. We're living in the future, people. We're just
very
living in the
true.
Future. My official shout out for this week, though, is going to go to an oldie, but I think a good one. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been downloading more and more ebooks over to my Kindle. And I guess I just go through spats with it. Like, I'll love it for a minute, and then I'll just like set it aside and not come back to it for like 2 months. And then I'll pick it up again. But right now is on the upswing for that. So, you know, if you don't have a Kindle yet, if you don't, definitely go out and get one, because I think they're really, really worth it. There's just something about being able to take, you know, 20, 30 different books with me rather than having to like pack those up in a bag if I just want to run down to a coffee shop. So check it out. I know some awesome companies like Buffer, hint, hint, they're hiring, offer free Kindle eBooks that they share. So that alone would be worth it for working at Buffer. Oh, with that
plus
puts
one to the Kindle shout out.
that puts the show in the books. I'll have show notes up shortly, supportops.co. All the show notes, all the fun stuff there for everybody that reads those. Other than that, I'm Chase. We'll see you again next week.